Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey, everyone. Today, I'm joined with Wendy Koch. She's an author, she's a podcaster, and she is, I think, a gifted predicting psychic. And we'll talk about that. Welcome to the show, Wendy.
Hey, how are you doing, Leslie? I'm so excited to talk with you today. You're always so much fun. We have a lot of fun together.
We really do. And we've known each other a long time, way back when Clubhouse was a thing. I don't even know if it's a thing anymore, is it?
Oh, my God. You know what? It's been so long since I've even had that on my radar. Yeah. Right? I haven't gone on it in years.
I don't, me neither. Yeah. Remember when you had to get the invitation and you had to be in the cool lunch table to get the invitation? And I was just like, I don't even.
God, please. You know, that's how we met. I think we were in a room and we were hopping along in there.
No, that's exactly how we met. Yeah.
And we were just like, hi, hey, I'm a podcaster. You're a podcaster. And it just kind of went from there, which is fantastic. But that's the only thing, good thing I got from that app.
Right. And then I just like, now I've got your phone number and you're just kind of like, I can't escape her.
No, it's a good thing. But I don't even think it's a thing anymore. You don't hear anything about it.
Yeah, I really truly wouldn't know. And I don't even have the app on my phone, I don't think anymore. So I wouldn't know.
Yeah. I wouldn't either.
Yeah. So guys, I got to tell my listeners, Wendy recently skydived and I have to ask her about that. But what I thought was really kind of a neat take on this, and I want her opinion. You know, when you're a skydiver and you're a Sagittarius, I don't know if you have any Sagittarius in you, because I think you might. Or some kind of rising sign or something or whatever, because they're all about adventure and all that. But my thing is, being a spiritual person, you know, taking away just the fact that, yes, you were in the military. I don't know if you did any skydiving then, but tell me about how it is for just maybe a layman person or maybe someone that doesn't really get into the spiritual and maybe, yeah. So tell me your experience.
Well, I have to tell you, I never in a million years thought I would be jumping out of a plane,
right?
ever.
Right?
I had the opportunity when I was in the service many, many moons ago. I won't say long, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I remember them saying to me, you know, after I got done, you know, with basic and graduated with my advanced MOS training. So they, you know, they said, would you like to go, you know, airborne? Would you like to jump out of airplanes? And I'm like, absolutely not.
No.
Yeah, that's a hard no. However, things change. People change. I mean, I haven't changed the fact that I'm scared to death of heights. I'm still afraid of heights.
Yeah, yeah.
So what kind of precipitated that is, you know, a close friend of mine passed away suddenly.
Right.
And his sister had said, you know, they were going to skydive together.
Oh, wow.
And would you go in his place?
Oh.
And I'm like, I mean, how can you say no, right?
Right? Especially when you love someone so much and they pass away and, you know, it affects you more than you think. So you're thinking, you know what, I'll just use their bravery and maybe I can channel them.
Oh, yeah. And so how can you say no to that? Yeah. So I'm like, okay. So I was apprehensive, but I thought, you know what? It's for something good and it's a great memory that we can cherish of him.
Sure.
So, yeah. Okay. So you drive to the airport, which is about a half hour away.
Okay.
And, you know, there's nervous apprehension. It's the middle of summertime. It's a great, warm, wonderful day, perfect day. You know, there's not a cloud in the sky, bright and sunny. And that's actually what you want. And I had no idea really what I was in for. You know, I just didn't know what to expect other than I was going to be very terrified.
Right.
And I was. So I just thought as we were walking into this little Cessna plane, this little propeller plane, which I can't stand. That's probably
scare me more.
Yeah, that's probably the worst part is walking up to it. And I remember thinking, well, I'm going to be fine as long as I'm not sitting by the door, right?
Right.
And guess what? I was the last one in. I was the one closest to the door. And I could have, that's what kind of unnerved me a little bit.
Yeah.
And I know that was, you know, my friend that, you know, he's like, oh, let's see what, if she can handle this.
Push her all the way to the limit, right?
So I jumped tandem. It's a tandem jump. So a professional jumper jumps with me. You can't jump by yourself unless you have so many hours or training or whatever.
Gosh.
And I have no desire to do that anyway.
Right,
so he was behind me in the seat. So there was three of us, three tandem jumpers. And then there was like three or four like professional ones towards the front of the plane.
Okay.
That they were just solo jumpers.
Okay.
And I was sitting by the door, and the door was open the whole time. And I just had this fear that I was going to like slide out of the door the whole time. And I was like, why haven't you buckled me in yet? Because there's like 4 points where they buckle you in, two up towards the shoulders and then two at the waist.
Yeah.
And he buckled like one of those in. And I remember thinking, I could just slide out of here. And he's like, you're not going to slide off. You're not going to fall out of the plane. You're going to be okay. So I had sort of a panic attack with that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but I'm right there. And he's like, it's okay. And I go, why haven't you buckled me in yet? And he's like, we have to wait till we get to a certain elevation. I'm like, okay, that didn't make sense to me, but whatever.
Yeah.
Then he started asking me questions like, what's your favorite ice cream? And I'm like, oh God, he's just kind of placating me. And, you know, and it was very quick. So my friend's sister, she said, let's go on the highest elevation we can as, you know, just as amateurs. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, no.
So we paid, so we paid a little extra. And so we jumped from 17,000 feet, which is about 3 miles up in the sky.
Oh my
God. I know, right? She goes, let's make it memorable. So it's like 1 minute of free fall. And as we were getting up to that elevation, so the three solo people that were about to jump off of the plane, you know, the one guy was like, okay, you idiots, let's get going. They're pumping each other up. They're doing fist pumps. They give me a little fist pump and they're like, you got this. And then, you know, they're just like, boom, boom, they jump out. And I'm like, oh my God. And you could see kind of like clouds. We were that high up. And, you know, the guy just hooked me up. And then there's just sort of, you get up to the beginning of the plane where you're about to jump off. And I just sort of like, okay, well, I'm putting it in God's hands.
Right. That's all you can do
there's
at this
really
point.
Not much I can do. And there's really no jumping. You know, they say you there's no jumping. You just sort of
fall out.
You know, the guy that's strapped to me, he just sort of stepped off. You just sort of step off into it.
Wow.
And yeah, I felt an immediate rush of air. It's very hard on your ears. So I didn't have earplugs in. I'm going to have them in next time. And my ears hurt really bad. I also had a little bit of a virus that I was kind of getting over. But my ears hurt really bad. And because I kind of panicked a little in the plane, he tightened up the belt, and across my chest, the belt was super tight, like to the point where I was like, oh my God. And it was so weird. As I'm falling down, potentially to my death, I didn't think about that. All I could think about was my ears and my chest. And he had said in my ear, he was like, oh, I'm going to loosen up the belt. I'm like, oh, but he loosened it up. And then when the chute opened though, that's almost like your brain is catching up to things. They were like, oh, the gravity of the whole thing, the situation, what was going on, kind of like, you know, you're stunned. I'm like, oh my God. And you can see the curvature of the earth.
Oh, wow.
That was cool. And it was along the lake and it was very beautiful. But then you're very quickly going down because it doesn't last very long.
Right.
It's a minute of free fall. And I don't know how many seconds it was, but, you know, he was gliding the parachute and I'm like, oh man. And you're very quickly coming to earth. And it was very soft landing. He was like, okay, this is going really well. It might change in a couple seconds. I'll tell you what to do, but we could probably just stand up. I'm like, I didn't want to do that. And I just kind of laid on my side. That's how I wanted to fall.
Yeah.
I didn't want to like land on my feet. I was just afraid that, you know, get a sprained ankle or something.
Sure.
And I started crying afterwards because it was just very overwhelming.
Yes.
You know, it was wonderful. It was both terrifying and thrilling at the same time.
That's the thing. I mean, at first when you're in the plane, you're like, why aren't you buckling me in? That's totally your fear of heights, I would think. You know, just the fact oh my God, right? Yeah. But also, you know, yes, you were, you know, your ears were kind of hurting. You were getting over a virus. You know, you weren't strapped in. You were strapped in really tightly once he loosened that. I think that helped. But when you said your brain kind of caught up with it, it's almost like I kind of got it from you, like maybe your soul kind of caught up with it. And you're like, this is what it feels like to just be free when maybe you're dreaming and you have that dream of flying or whatever. And I'm not trying to totally make this spiritual, but I love the fact that this changes your perspective on certain things, I would think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, when I was free falling, it's just weird. I wasn't thinking about, well, what if the parachute didn't open? I didn't have that thought at all. my yes. immediate thought was my ears. Like I can't, my ears were hurting and it was weird. There's a lot of pressure up there. So it, you know, your face looks funny, you know, when they you see skydivers and stuff, but I didn't really have any thoughts. And when the parachute opened is when I caught up, like my brain caught up to what was going on. I was like, oh, wow. Then, you know, things slow down and you can actually sort of kind of enjoy the experience. And it was just, I don't know, it's hard to put into words. And then you do have sort of like a high. It's sort of like you have this high for about 48 hours. Like it's kind of like it's a happy kind of drunk. You just feel very elevated in your thoughts and emotions. And it does last for a few hours. It feels really good.
Well, yeah, and the adrenaline alone. So, well, I tell you, I love your story and I wanted my listeners to hear it because I don't think I'll ever skydive. And if I do, I'll have you go with me because I'm not doing it alone. But yeah.
I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again, believe it or not.
Well,
so,
listen, I have all the respect for you. Let me tell you. So I was going to ask you, you and I have both had Preston Dennett, the alien, we're switching gears now. Preston Dennett, the alien expert on our podcast. I need to have him back on because I've had so many people ask me to have him back on. I know you've had him on. So, and there's been people like that Dr. Stephen Greer talking about, oh, we're going to have full contact and blah, blah, blah. So, and I'm just talking to you about it because I'm thinking, you know, you going that high up in the air, and if they're supposedly all around us just cloaked, maybe you do you think you could have gone through one of them, one of the aliens in the sky?
Hey, you know what? I mean, the sky's the limit, right?
Right.
It's a possibility. I just feel like there's a lot of things seen and unseen floating around, hanging around, you know, that aren't really seen by the human eye, but is felt.
Yes. And I, you know, when Preston Dennett came on my podcast, he's like, listen, they've been here for eons. We are really basically on their planet. We're just pretty much guests because we're part of them. They're part of us. But they've been here a long time, a lot longer than we have. And, you know, you think they'd step in sometimes, but and I think they do. But what do you think about all that?
Well, first of all, I love Preston Dennett. He's been on my show a couple of times. I find him to be very credible and just, you know, very transparent in his own experiences and fascinating. I feel like, you know, aliens are sort of like observing us and just kind of like shaking their head like, oh, my God, you know, let's just see how this plays out kind of thing. I remember Preston saying that he thinks most of them are good or all of the aliens are good. Yeah, I do that. But I also think that there are some that maybe might not be so good. I don't know, a little more mischievous. But yeah, I think that they just sort of, they're kind of like stewards of, they're trying to reel us in, but I don't know. They're definitely there. I definitely believe in UFOs and aliens.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and they reveal themselves to certain people, you know, I think they're very, they decide who they want to reveal themselves to. I wish they would be more forthcoming with things. I mean, there's just a lot of things up in the air regarding why they're here. You know, underwater UFOs, what's that all about? Is there a big city underwater? You know, that kind of thing. There's just so many questions.
And, you know, I've heard people ask like ChatGPT about underwater aliens. You know, you can get all this AI stuff answering your questions. And they're like, the probability of that with the pressure under the ocean is very low or whatever. But anything's possible. You know, all the
scientific stuff.
I know.
There's no spirituality in it. There's no like creative.
However, you know, they do talk about spirituality and they do talk about the different dimensions and they do talk about the physics part of it, which that's true. That's a physics thing, you know, the different dimensions, the different. And I do think the Earth is shedding certain dimensions that are keeping us from discovering, you know,
serving us for sure.
So, you know, in that respect, I do love that they can talk about it and say they actually do believe we're in some kind of hologram.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I feel like this, you know, how they say, like, when you pass away, this all will all feel like a dream. And, you know, in the heavens, that's what real living is. That's what you're really experiencing.
Yeah,
it's hard to wrap my head around it, but I can, I get it. I mean, I can see how people would come up with that conclusion. But yeah, I mean, I feel like the earth is so, everything is so different from like, what, the 70s and 80s. Everything is changing.
Yes.
The way people learn things, the way people take in information and the way they're communicating is so different. And how people are evolving are so different from like, as opposed to when, you know, when we grew up, you know, we had no electronics and things like that. And now it's kind of sad, isn't it? I think we're the last generation really that had what, both, we know what it was like to live without, you know, the Google and Facebook, all the social media apps and that. We're like the last one because all the others now, you know, there's always going to be social media.
Just like your kids, my kids don't know what it's like not to have the internet. You know, they. And so like when we were young, and you guys have probably heard this many times on videos, if you're on social media, you know, I used to drink out of the garden hose, and we truly did that. You know, we really did that. You had to wait for a second because it was really hot. So you had to let the...
I mean, it was the best. I loved it. I drank out of the water hose. You know, I rode my bike barefoot. I mean, you know, I would, I remember riding my bike down a hill, closing my eyes and just like having my arms out, balancing out to see if I could do it. And oh God, that wasn't a good choice.
That wasn't a good choice. Yeah. Now we know what's wrong with you, Wendy. No, I'm kidding.
That explains it all, right?
Right, right. But no, I do think that, and I hate to use this word, but I think it's just the best word I can think of. The awakening we've had and the evolution we've had in the fact that there's so much more we can't understand, but I do think there's a lot we can try to tune ourselves into, because to me, spirituality isn't a religion. It's more of a radio frequency. You either tune in or you don't tune in, you know?
Absolutely. You know, it's all around us and people can choose not to be a part of it, but they are a part of it. I mean, energy is, you know, when you walk into a room, you are announcing yourself, whether you're talking or not. And that's your energy. That's what you're projecting. And that's totally a thing.
Well,
I mean, it's not some made up voodoo. That's a thing, you know?
Well, you bring up a good point, because when I walk into a room, whether there's a thousand people or four, there's a different vibe for each, as we all know. I mean, that's not anything new. I'm not saying anything, you know, remarkable. But I do think that you can tell when someone, when they're asking you questions, they really want to know an answer. They really are interested. And you can also tell when they're just saying hello and all the things just to suffice because they're being polite. And I, you know, I can spot that a mile away. But
it's hard to deal with that, isn't it? When you know right away, like, oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, or when you're not included in something that, you know, this happened years ago when I was a neighborhood group. And for some reason, I think I was writing my second book, I think. And they all found out that I was writing a book. These are friends from the neighborhood. And not everybody was very supportive, especially that it was a paranormal romance. And some, I lost friends over that because they thought it was of the devil and all that. Or they just got a little envious that they, you know, my kids were starting to not need me as much and I wanted something fun to do. And I needed a creative outlet. So, you know, you really understand who your friends are when they...
For sure. And, you know, they probably were envious. Like, oh my God, you're writing a book?
Yeah. And I wasn't trying to be this big, you know, oh my gosh, I'm so cool. It was just, I loved writing. I minored in English and writing and I loved that. So it wasn't out of the ordinary for me to be writing. I did reviews for Goodreads. I did a lot of writing throughout my college years and, you know, early mom years. So I was the founder of the Indie Bookshelf.
That's cool.
Yeah, we did signings for authors and we would host them, you know, the hosting things that people do. And then they were like, why aren't you writing? And I'm like, I don't know if I want to write. And they're like, well, you can write. You do great reviews. We all know you. We all love you. You should be doing it. And that's what got me into it. But also just the fact that I wanted something to do. And these women were either, they got bored with their wedding rings and they got new wedding rings or they got a new car. They didn't have any hobbies, you know?
Pretty shallow, right?
Well, I hate to say that, but I think it's kind of shallow. Yeah.
Well, it is. And some people, like when you were having other authors do signings, you know, you're very supportive of women.
Yes.
And some people just aren't that way. Like it, maybe it's just so different from what they want to do, or maybe they just don't understand. So they just cut themselves off and just like, okay, well, you do your thing and I'll do mine. But it's sad. Yeah. And it's sort of like, oh, wow. Okay. I didn't realize that you felt that way about me. Okay. Well, I guess it's best that we go our separate ways. But
well,
I've encountered that as well. And it's bizarre. And it's like, sometimes from people that you never thought that would happen, and it did, and it's like, wow, okay.
Well, and you know, they want to keep you in a little box, and I cannot be kept in a box. I like to expand. I mean, I'm constantly learning, whether I'm listening to a podcast, whether I'm watching a live on TikTok about the congressional hearings or whatever it is. I want to know about as much as I can know, so that when I do talk to someone about it, I sound intelligent and that I know what I'm talking about to a point. Now, I'm not an expert in a lot of things, but I know a lot about a lot of things. So,
I mean, you've had so many people on your show. That's the best way to learn and get perspective and get other people's opinions on things, you know?
Yeah, no, just like you. And guys, by the way, Wendy hosts a podcast called The Juicy Pear Podcast, and she has a lot of people like I have on her podcast. And but speaking of books and writing, I know you're writing your third book in your series. So tell my listeners about it, and I want to ask you a couple questions.
First of all, thank you so much for having me on your platform. I always love and enjoy talking with you, and thank you for that. So I have my first two books, A Gray Resort and An Awakening, and I'm working on my third, and I've been working on this book, Leslie, for years.
Girl, I know the struggle.
Oh my God, I have to tell you, I don't know if I'll ever do a series again. Yeah. This has really, really taken a lot out of me. So I had sort of a job on the side too, but I had to take a little break from my podcast. I am going to work on getting my episodes up again, but I just couldn't, you know, manage all that and do my book. And then, you know, I still have kids in high school that needed me. So yeah, I've had to take a little break from podcasting, but this book, I have to tell you, I'm super excited to have it come out. First of all, I'm very excited. I just didn't realize. I mean, you know, when you get back into writing another book, you're like, oh crap, I remember what this was like, all the editing and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
But I'm super excited. I don't know if I can say a little bit about it, if you want to get the readers kind of enticed.
What I would do is I would just tell them a little bit about book one, since it's a series. And then some of the stuff, guys, Wendy wrote about is stuff that literally happened at their little lake resort. And I'm telling you, it's really cool. And the thing is, the best thing you can do is write what you know. And that's one thing I learned a long time ago from Stephen King. And he's one of my favorites. She's Wendy's favorite too. Yeah. And you're going to do better when you write what you know. So she started writing what she knew. And that's why A Gray Resort did so well. But then she's just kind of piggybacking on the rest of the story so that you can have a continuation or whatever. So yeah, tell them a little bit about Gray Resort, because I do want to ask you some questions about the things that really truly happened. Like, your mom had some experiences too.
Oh yeah. So what's cool about A Gray Resort is it's based on a real place. It's based where I used to grow up in northern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It's actually in a teeny town called Tomahawk, Wisconsin, but I changed the name to Neillsville in my book.
Okay.
But it's based on a real place. It's based on a real resort. My parents owned a beautiful resort. It had 8 cabins. It was on Lake Alice. This is all true. And, you know, my parents had these fantastic parties during the 70s and 80s. So I got to meet a lot of different people. And in addition to that, our woods across the street was, you know, it had some paranormal activity.
Yeah.
In addition to that, I was, you know, a teenager at the time, a young girl, and I was having sixth sense about things. And my mom had that as well. So I thought that would make a great premise for the book.
Yes.
And the book starts out where it kind of describes the town a little bit, and this girl goes fishing, and she sort of gets the shock of her life. She comes in contact with something that she has, you know, kind of throws her for a loop. So that's how the beginning of A Gray Resort starts.
Right. And it's such a great beginning. And guys, so like I said, check them out, you know, and I'll put all of her links in my show notes. But so when this happened though, Wendy, I remember you telling us a story that your mom even had experiences probably before even you guys did. Or was it at the same time too?
So my mom had experiences when she was a little girl about things.
Oh,
you know, she knew about things before they would happen. She had kind of odd occurrences that would happen. And she also, when she was a young woman in that area, she saw, you know, a UFO. And that's in the book too.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you ever visit the town, it's wonderful. I love it. And I'm going to go with my girls this summer. We go every summer and we take a ride out to the resort, which you know, has the owners have changed hands and things.
Yeah.
But as soon as you get in the area, at least for me, I guess, and I think you probably feel this too, because you're kind of sensitive to energies and spirits and things. There's just sort of like an eeriness about the whole place. I don't know. It's hard to describe, but it's palpable. It's, you know, right away, it's like, oh, wow, you know, there's something going on here.
Yeah.
I wanted to, you know, I wanted to write about that on the page because it's just a beautiful place. And I wanted to have a keepsake for all those experiences with my parents' parties and things. And, you know, I wanted to, you know, make it fun and make people want to turn the page and have this very interesting story that I had to come to, you know, an end.
So no, it sounds intriguing. And, you know, I tell you, when you have the good versus evil, that's kind of like my Graveyard Watchman series, the Angels versus Demons series. Listen, you know, you can have a ball with it. And this is nothing that necessarily happened in my life, but I had, it's almost like I channeled stuff in that because I wrote about a council and a council that, you know, doesn't necessarily punish you for what you did. It talks about what you learned and how you would do things differently and why you would, all those things, right? No judgment. And a lot of people that I talk to that are near-death experiencers say that's a lot of what happens up there. There is a council of people that help you with your life review. And I'm like, I had no idea. So I think you can channel some of this too, you know?
I feel like it, yeah, because it's weird. It's like, how did I come up with that? Because,
right.
Yeah, for sure. Like sometimes I'll get like a, you know, a little pocket of time where like, oh, I gotta, you know, go on this character, or oh, I have a really cool scene I want to write.
Yeah.
And it just flows. I mean, it's not like that all the time, for sure. Sometimes, of course, it's hard, but other times, you know, untap the keg and it just, the creative juice is just, you know, it just like comes and comes.
Absolutely.
I was like, wow, where did this come from?
Right. You know, I mean, it's funny because sometimes I'll reread some of my books and I'm like, you know, just little chapters and I'm like, I don't even remember writing that. And I'm thinking to myself, and this is kind of patting myself on the back, and I'm like, this is really interesting. And I don't remember writing this, and it's keeping my attention. So,
you know, yes.
But no, Wendy, you've been amazing. And I'm going to add all of your information on the show notes, your book, where they can find your books. And girl, you've been amazing. Thanks so much for being on my show.
Thank you so much. And I'm so excited for my book to come out. It's going to be coming out sometime this year.
Yes.
I'm not sure when, but it will. And I'm always excited to get new readers. And I love entertaining people. And yeah, you can find me on Instagram, Wendy Koch. I'm on Amazon. If you just put my name, Wendy K-O-K on Amazon, all my books will come up there. But yeah, it's always a pleasure. And it's always so much fun coming on your show, Leslie. Thank you so much.
Well, I love providing Because I Want to Know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.